This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Of the program, waiting for these cloudy skies to lift, a little bit of sunshine, dry some things out here a little bit. Wouldn't that be nice? Let's get a little more of that. Also, a flood threat that is lessening on the eastern end of the state. Still some pockets in other places that are a mess. I was just reading a note from somebody about the fight in McKenzie County. I know that's been a tough one, so thinking of you there, and sometimes those don't get the attention they should get, to tell you the truth. So, anyway, we're making plans to be down in Arizona again. You heard Senator Kevin Cramer will be there. Other members of the House and Senate will be there to see a demonstration once again about the capabilities of Fisher Industries, a North Dakota company, to help build that wall. Sounds like the president's attention is narrowing a little bit on that. You heard the Senator Cramer talk about that, so that's good news. We look forward to that. Bottom of this hour, we're going to talk to Michael Goodwin. He's a columnist for the New York Post. He wrote an op-ed recently that's caught my attention, and it really has to do with what the swamp and what the media want of the president. And he's basically saying, after proving his innocence after the last 2+ years, the guy doesn't have to be humble. He shouldn't have to be humble. Kind of an interesting take. I'm always of the opinion that the more humble you are, the better. It's always a challenge. But anyway, we'll see what his theory is there with a little later on in the hour. So look forward to that. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about the North Dakota legislative session. We're getting down to the crunch time now, where really everything's about the appropriators and what they're deciding and what's happening. And there's a couple of key priorities that are being, I guess, iced right now, where you just don't know what's going to happen, and that's going to depend on, where the dollars are. Someone that knows exactly how the game is played, so to speak, is Roscoe Striley, a legislator, former legislator, and business person that lent his talents to, citizen. I love it when there are citizen servants that say, I'm going to take my expertise from the private sector, and I'm going to help and be in the elected world, and that's what Roscoe did. So we appreciate that, and all those that lend their talents to that as well. Roscoe, how are you doing today?
Great. Yourself, Scott?
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you being here and talking a little bit about this. So let's just start with sort of how the game is played generically. If I have a priority and I really want that to happen, obviously a lot of work is done prior to the session, then it gets introduced, and then you obviously hope that the funding is there for it. Just walk us through sort of kind of what's typical with any particular legislation and how sort of, the smaller group of the appropriators really have an enormous amount of power on whether an idea is funded or not.
Yeah, it's obviously probably the best two examples would be the Prairie Dog and the Surge Bill, where they worked it beforehand. And honestly, by session time, I can't really speak about this time, but it seemed the same as the Surge, where it was this foregone conclusion almost that they were going to pass because they worked so hard beforehand. And that's the best strategy, obviously. But as far as other bills, when they get introduced, I sat on appropriations and I absolutely love this time of year towards the end of session because it's the most fun, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, they tweaked the budget numbers a little bit. You saw what happened with the first go around and then the update in March. And, you can tweak those to make them as conservative as you want, which in a sense, the more conservative you go, the easier it is to kill a bunch of bills. And that's kind of what happens. It's been going on forever. I don't necessarily like that, but that's just the reality of what it is. I'm conservative, so I mean, it's nice in a sense, but you are killing a lot of good ideas. And yeah, the Appropriations Committee has really, in the leadership, of course, really has all the power.
So why Why would they kill good ideas? What would be the motivation there?
Well, I wouldn't say everybody's motivated to do that. I mean, there's enormous power in one or two people on each side of the chamber on those committees, and you know, they kind of steer the ship. And you know, they'll get some pushback, of course, like they always do. But yeah, I mean, if you don't like something or you know don't like an idea, they can kill it pretty easily just themselves. I mean, obviously, you need the other members to buy in too, but by and large, they're going to on most issues. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, the TR, for example, I think that's crazy that they're not going to fund that. Although I think in the end that will get funded. There's plenty of resources available. It's a good use of funds, I think, or legacy funds to help, bring private money into the state, in tourism into the state, quite frankly, and have a centerpiece around that. So I hope that one gets funded. You know, there's a lot of the other governor's initiatives, you know, it's still unknown whether they're going to get funded or not. The money's there. I mean, to say that the money's not there is disingenuous, because it is. And so I hope the governor gets some big wins. I think he deserves it. He's been a great governor. Brent is lieutenant governor. I mean, their team is some of the best I've seen. I mean, they're just doing a really good job, I think.
I have a sense. And I'm not there every day, but obviously know enough people that are there and just pick up enough things from fellow legislators. I have a sense that, you know, when you say the money's there, that this isn't about the money. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, because there's all these buckets, and you know well how that works. But we're going to do some rough numbers on what they have in buckets in this session. But so you know, pot of money there. Do we fund it? Do we go with this good idea, or do we not? I have a sense, please use the library, that there's more votes against the library, not necessarily because it's a good idea or a bad idea, because it's not their idea. That it's, okay, in this case, Governor Burgum is advocating for a $50 million investment out of the legacy fund designed to do these type of projects that would leverage $100 million. It seems to make some sense and be fiscally prudent given what it would bring. And in the grand scheme, not a lot of money. I mean, I realize $50 million is a lot of money, but it's not when you look at what is available in funds. But they're not doing it, not because they don't like it, or they don't think that there would be some merit to it. They're doing it because they don't want to give the governor a win, and they're just being petty. Is that unfair?
I don't know. I think there's probably some truth to that. I mean, I wouldn't say the entire Appropriations Committee that way. There's probably one or two or three members, I would say key members, that think that way. But, you know, what the governor's done, I heard even last night, to his credit, to the legislators' credit that went, he had the entire Bismarck delegation over at the residence. So in building those relationships and asking, you know, what their priorities are, explaining what his priorities are, you know, et cetera. So I think what he's doing is great as far as reaching out. You know, it's a little late session, obviously, but it's great because they need to have a really good relationship with the governor. I think he's our governor. He's a Republican governor. He's probably the most conservative governor we've had since Schaefer. You know, so I think we should fund the state should fund some of his bold initiatives. And if you look at the legacy fund, I mean, it's simple math. There's just round it up, $6 billion. Take that times 3 or 5, 6%, whatever rate of return you want to use, and double it for the biennium. I mean, there's plenty of resources there. There's over $400 million. BND thinks maybe close to $500 million by the end of this biennium in earnings. Well, then go into the next biennium. You would assume about the same rate of return. So to only use $300 million, it just doesn't make sense to me because, well, they're actually using $200 million supposedly to balance the budget and then $100 million in projects. So
I'm not exactly sure how they can use $200 million to balance the budget, because that's basically going into regular spending. Right?
Going into the general fund, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not what the intent of the legacy fund was. That's not what I remember.
I personally think in a perfect world, I would take at least half of the earnings and put that into one-time projects and leave the balance of that to just, you know, compound, reinvest that back in. And maybe they'll get to that point. I'm not sure. But I think the biggest issue they have right now is the Budget Stabilization Fund, which, you know, was used to dig us out of the hole a couple sessions ago. So that's capped at 15%. Well, historically, you know, if you remember back in the 90s, in the early 90s, it was at 5%. And then it was 10, 12, et cetera. It's been moved. Well, recently it was moved up to 15%. I think that's personally too much. There's, you know, just for round numbers, say there's about $500 million in that right now, or there will be. That's enough, I think. There's no need to put $700 or $800 million in a budget stabilization. So what I think they should do is tweak that back down to 10%, and that frees up some money, too, because $500 million in a savings account for budget, I think, is plenty, personally. And the SIF fund is going to have hundreds of millions in it. And you got to remember that this budget is a super conservative budget on oil.
Yeah,
so also, I think we're good financially, and I just hope they help support the governor, because I think he deserves it.
Hang tight, Ross. We'll finish this on the side break. I just want folks to understand, when he's talking about a budget stabilization fund, you're talking about a SIF fund, you're talking about the legacy fund, those are pots of dollars. And again, you want to be careful. You want to have a rainy day fund, but they have several rainy day funds. So are we cutting off our nose to spite our face here? Or, you know, let's talk about that when we come back on What's on Your Mind.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Austin Langley of Warwick. Backed by popular demand, the North Dakota Soybean Council is sponsoring a See for Yourself program to Portland, Oregon, July 8th through the 12th, for North Dakota soybean producers to see their checkoff dollars at work. Learn about checkoff investments in rail and water transportation, soy biodiesel, new uses for soy, and tour shipping ports where North Dakota soybeans leave for Asia. Experience firsthand the systems in which the North Dakota Soybean Council invests to ensure market stability for your soybeans. If selected, airfare, lodging, and most meals will be reimbursed. North Dakota soybean farmers are invited to apply to participate in the See for Yourself program by April 8th. Log on to NorthDakotaSoybean.org and apply today.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
You should never go through a winter without a hot spring spa. This winter has been epic. Cold, blizzards, snow, ridiculous. I've been out in 30 below weather in a hot tub and loved every minute of it. The colder it was, the more I enjoyed it. Am I alone?
No, I think, you know, a lot of our customers call this hot tub season because it does get you outside. It feels great. Again, the colder, the better. Now, hot tub season should really be every day because it is every day made better when you sit in this product. And I can't stress that enough. We're better physically. We are better mentally. We're better relationally. We're better. And it's truly, with our financing going on, it is truly less than a cup of coffee a day.
Financing Vin's talking about is a great deal. 60 months, no interest, your first payment, not for 6 months, or the 12 months no interest, no payment deal at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too. West Fargo, Grand Forks, Minot, Bismarck, and Devil's Lake too. Online at hotspringnd.com. Hotspringnd.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Equal opportunity employer offering industry-leading benefits and competitive wages. Go Wireline looking for experienced wireline engineers and operators, for crane operators right now that have the NC CCO certification. And they even on occasion will hire candidates with no wireline experience if you meet the qualifications, maintain the company's high standards of performance. So check it out. Some good opportunities waiting here. GoWireline.com. GoWireline.com/careers. Or call them at 701-572-0886. They're in Dickinson and in Williston. Continuing our conversation with Roscoe Striley today on the program. Roscoe, a former legislator. We're just kind of doing a little walk through the budget and the crunch time of the legislative session when the North Dakota legislators are deciding what's being done. One thing I want to pick up from before you said it, you said you want the governor to continue to build relationships, and he is doing, I guess, these dinners where folks from a particular, you know, like you said, the Bismarck folks come in, or Grand Forks, Fargo, whatever, so different groups, and I would assume everyone ultimately has a opportunity to do that. Once he builds relationships, it seems to me that there are some folks that don't want him to have that relationship with those folks that sort of ostracize those folks. I mean, I've actually heard people say they're not going to go down and talk to the governor because if they do, they come back and say, oh, what are you doing? Why are you going? You know, as if the sort of we're taking this natural tension between the executive branch and the legislative branch to a, like, middle school food fight. You know, I mean, is it that petty, Roscoe?
Yeah, I guess I don't know about this session. I'm not there. But, yeah, in the past, that's been, you know, I would say some of that's true, not all of it. I mean, but some of that would probably be pretty accurate. I don't know. I've always had, of all the people I've met during my time in this, I would say the current governor right now, top 10 for sure, most aware of what's going on. I mean, he's a super smart guy, very engaging. I mean, you can get a meeting with him anytime you want. I mean, and he's a fun guy to talk to. I mean, he's super passionate about North Dakota and has a lot of good ideas. I don't agree with everything. You know, the purge thing they had in the budget to refill that, I didn't agree with that. But as far as a person and Brent, too, I mean, those two are just a dynamic team. And I'm just happy that they're our governor. And I, like I said, I really enjoy talking to them. I would be down there a lot if I was in the legislature.
You mentioned that there was some I don't know if animosity is the word or opposition or whatever, that you know, a few on appropriation committees are fighting them. We've heard a lot about Jeff Delzer. Rob Port wrote a column about this recently, about sort of, you know, taking some money away and putting it in a different place, not being the way to be fiscally prudent, and, you know, a lot about some of the things you talked about in the first segment, where we're going to go through these buckets in a minute, but different games with the buckets so that good ideas can't be funded. I mean, does appropriations chair in the House have that much power?
I will say this. He is the most powerful person in Bismarck. You could maybe argue Holmberg or Warden are on par, but Jeff Delzer is absolutely one of the most powerful people in Bismarck. Jeff's a friend of mine. I like him. I've criticized him recently. That's true. I think he deserves it, though, because I don't think the financial situation is as dire as they're saying, because you just look at the numbers. I mean, the amount of revenue coming off the legacy fund, the Common Schools Trust Fund. I mean, we've got tens of billions of dollars in the budget stabilization fund.
Walk through those so people understand. I mean, a rainy day fund's a good idea. Several rainy day funds gets to the point of, wait a minute here, what's the ulterior motive? What's going on? So we have way too many rainy day funds, don't we?
Well, I mean, they're in the Constitution, the Common Schools Trust Fund. You know, you're stuck with that, which I think is a good one. That's kicking off over $300 million for K-12 education and a $2 billion spend. Legacy Fund, you know, over $6 billion and growing every month. You know, so they're good. I mean, I support them. I just don't support using fictitious numbers on earnings, like, because it's simple math. I mean, you take 3% times $6 billion times 2 is, you know, it's simple math. And to say that, well, we're only going to use $100 million or $300 million or whatever, I mean, just be honest with it. And I think what the governor did in his budget, which they did not follow through, at least they haven't yet in the legislature, maybe they will. We need to run 100% of the revenue through the general fund, because you put all these pots and it makes it look like, oh, the state of North Dakota is not dependent on oil because we only use $600 million or whatever of oil. Well, it's a lie. I mean, you're just putting it over in a different fund, General Fund 2, which is SIF. So everything should be run through the general fund. So there's a clear accounting of all the revenue. And we are absolutely dependent on oil revenue, which is fine. So I think the governor had a really good idea there. I wish and I hope that they do it in the end instead of, you know, shifting money into this strategic investment improvement fund, the SIFT, you know, SIFT fund.
There's another one.
You know, so the SIFT has got a lot of money in it. And you got to remember, too, that there's going to be some oil royalties flowing into that, too, that weren't suspected. So that potentially could be a couple hundred million there, too. So the SIFT fund is going to have, it's not going to be broke. I mean, there's going to be hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars. And again, this is based on a very conservative oil forecast, which is fine, you know, but you just got to be aware that these projections are probably going to be exceeded.
So where is the lowest hanging fruit in the way of, you know, too many. I get it. Rainy day funds make sense, but not again, all of them maxed out. So you're stifling any kind of innovation, any kind of ideas to make ultimately government better. I mean, that's what we're all trying to get to here. Is there any low hanging fruit? Is it the 10% thing on budget stabilization? Go back to that and say, now I've got where is it?
Yes, there's no need to put $700, $800 million into budget stabilization fund. $575 has historically been about the average the last many, many bienniums. That's just fine at that number. That frees up a lot of money there. I personally think the tourism piece and the research piece in North Dakota are the two key drivers that should be funded this session to expand the economy, diversify the economy. And they've done a good job at, you know, Representative Nathie's got a bill. You know, there's some that have been killed, of course, too, as far as that goes. But to me, research and tourism, and obviously oil, but EERC, for example, I mean, they should get a ton of money in research because they do awesome things for the state of North Dakota.
Yeah, great point, Roscoe. I mean, that's a rainy day fund. You invest in that, and you're getting it back big time, right? I mean, those are great insurance policies, too. One texter here says, I've lived in North Dakota all my life, 63 years, paid taxes since I turned 16. Through high tax years and low tax years, I've paid property tax all my life. Now we're abundant in cash. When do I catch a break? When do I see some of that effect for my life? I probably have 20 years left to live. How about I get a break? Drop sales tax, property taxes, do something. I mean, should we be doing more tax relief with these dollars?
Yeah, I don't support the income tax. Using legacy fund to cut the income tax, I think that's just a ridiculously stupid idea, especially tacking it onto a budget that they just did, which is fine. It's the Senate House games. This is the fun time of the year. So, I mean, it probably isn't going to happen, but that type of trick, I just think is not smart. But yeah, I get his point. I mean, the property tax is a local deal.
What I would say is $250 million a year is going to every city, county, and township, whether they want it or not, through the Prairie Dog Bill that is specifically designed to lower the burdens on these communities for property taxes. So you ought to get it there. And I'd say, if I were you, this texter and everybody else, go to your city, county, township folks, say, what are we doing with those dollars and how will it impact me? Roscoe, great stuff. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Roscoe Spriley with us on What's On Your Mind. More coming up.
Agriculture and ethanol are one. How do we know? We ask farmers, including Paul Thomas. Paul, talk a little bit about the value you derive from ethanol.
Ethanol is what drives the value of me being able to truck my corn an extra 50, 60 miles to an ethanol plant and get a little higher price for it. But then in turn, also the DDGs that come out of that ethanol plant also go to the feedlots to provide a high protein source of feed for their cattle that's mixed with the corn. And then the ethanol itself, you know, ends up in all our local pumps, reduces the price we pay for gas.
What happens if ethanol is no more? How would that affect you?
Removing ethanol and removing the corn in our diversified systems will just put more pressure on all the other crops we grow by increasing the supply and having a negative effect on prices on every single crop. You know, it's not just going to lower the price of corn. In all reality, it's going to lower the prices of every single commodity we grow.
Agriculture and ethanol are one. Just ask farmers. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The government says the U.S. economy added 190,000 jobs approximately last month. That's a big improvement over the month before, as we hear from USA Radio's John Clemens.
Some economists were estimating an increase of workers at only 175,000 after a disappointing report in February. Elaine Kara-George of the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics has the March report.
Total non-farm payroll employment increased by 196,000 in March and the unemployment rate was unchanged at 3.8%.
For the year so far, wage gains increased at 3.2%.
The military says a male sailor shot a female sailor at a Virginia Naval Air Base this morning. The base said the shooter is dead. The victim was taken to a local hospital where she's expected to recover. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
From today, Bowman, North Dakota. Oh, I can hardly wait. And I've been getting a lot of grief about this, but people say, you haven't been to Bowman? Because I admitted that on the air. I shouldn't admit these things on the air, but I did. And I got a little bit of grief from some listeners. I forget where I was at, but I was. Somebody came up to me and said, I can't believe you haven't been to Bowman. I'm admitting it, but I'm also writing that wrong. I'm going to go down to... Going to go down to Bowman and see some good folks at the Pipers big auction that'll be happening there. So mark that on your calendar if it isn't already, okay? We've got a busy week this week with some land auctions in Hettinger and Grand Forks County coming up next week, and Grand Forks County, McLean County, written bid auction next to Thursday, Spearwood. But anyway, 2019 Western Dakota Machinery Auction in Bowman, Friday, April 12th. The whole list of all the items I've got, which is a big, big list. I'm looking at it right now, is up online. So go to pipers.com and you'll find it all there. And we'll be there broadcasting live. Auction starts right in the middle of the show, so it should be a lot of fun. I don't think anyone in the media knows President Donald Trump's idiosyncrasies and ins and outs and gets them as well as anybody. No, nobody does. Michael Goodwin, New York Post columnist, who joins us today to talk a little bit about the president and the latest. Thanks for coming back, Michael. How are you?
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
You know, Donald Trump is loved in North Dakota and South Dakota and western Minnesota and eastern Montana. I mean loved, like a more revered. I've been doing talk radio since 1986, and you know, I've never, ever heard the kind of just full-throated support for someone in a political position ever than Donald Trump. Does that surprise you?
Yes and no. I mean, I've been, watching events, watching Trump, for a long time. It is remarkable the, disconnect, the two ways of viewing him. I mean, they are such polar opposites. And if you read the headlines of the mainstream media, he's just the worst and the worst and the worst, and every impulse is dark. Everything he does is misguided or corrupt, et cetera, et cetera. And then you meet people who don't. I mean, I'm not talking about people who sort of think he's perfect, but just people who view his accomplishments as breathtaking and groundbreaking and as changing the course of America for the better. I'm one of those people. On the night he was elected, I wrote that this was an important correction for the country, that it had gone much too far in the wrong direction. I thought Barack Obama, for all of his historical precedents, was a terrible president. And I thought Hillary Clinton would have been an even worse president. And here you had somebody not just breaking the mold, breaking the hold of the Democratic Party on power in Washington, but breaking the mold of the Republican Party, which I thought had become weak and ineffectual and confused and frightened. And so, yes, I believe that Donald Trump's election was a singular moment. I believe that if he, particularly if he's reelected and continues down this course of fixing border security, sort of unleashing the forces of capitalism, and I think a lot of other things that he started, if he gets four more years, if he has at least one House of Congress with him, I believe at the end of 8 years, America would be well situated. Of course, it will still have problems, but it will have made a lot of progress, and a lot more people will be working. They'll be able to support themselves. Opportunities will have expanded for the next generation. So I think lots of good things are happening, and the trick is to keep them going.
You know, it's amazing to me about the fact that, you know, there is that the support for him. You know, I wouldn't expect you to know much about, you know, folks in the Midwest, but in our part of the world, it's a pretty, you know, down-to-earth, humble kind of folks. I mean, Donald Trump is about polar opposite. Most of the characteristics of, you know, North Dakotans, mostly agrarian, now big oil development as well, but just, you know, more of a just a hardworking, salt of the earth kind of folks. And the president is humble. I loved your column about after proving his innocence, Trump should have to be humble. And, you know, what's, what's interesting is he obviously doesn't have much humility, but the way he uses it, you know, that stature is really amazing. I think that's what's what endears him to people. And what I like is that these people I'm describing for you that like him, despite the fact he's that much different, they see the country under attack. Everything you just described, everything that needs to be taken care of, they want him for 8 years because they know, you know, we are circling the drain. We can't do that. We've got to stop the bleeding to protect this awesome experiment of the United States of America. So they love the fact that he fights, and they don't really look at his flaws. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary in a political leader, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's one of the ways that he has broken the mold, that he has disrupted sort of politics as usual. You know, if I could, I'd like to just share with your listeners a little of my own story. It's true, I've lived in New York City since I came to college here, but I grew up in a very small town in Pennsylvania, which in many ways is not so different from North Dakota, in at least when I was growing up there, because it was very isolated. We were sort of midway between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and it was, we used to joke that it was Pennsyltucky. I mean, it's sort of at the end of the Appalachian Mountains, and there was a lot of poverty, a lot of just hardworking blue-collar people of factories. I mean, I grew up in row houses that were originally built for factory workers nearby. My parents were not well-to-do. Neither went to college. They were hardworking their entire lives. They both passed away now. May they rest in peace. But I came, and I knew Donald Trump, having lived in New York City since my college years and been a journalist. I knew him. I certainly knew of him. We were not friends in any way. I only met him a few times, interviewed him once or twice. But what I saw and what made me recognize in him the qualities that you and I are discussing is that the people from the town that I grew up in, and people like them across America, were rallying to Donald Trump. I didn't see it in him myself at first. They saw it, and I saw it through them. I saw it through their eyes, what they were hearing, what they were feeling, how they had been left behind. And that sense of being betrayed, not just abandoned, but betrayed by both political parties and by their own government. In the sense that they had fought the wars, they had built this country, they and their families and their generations had built America, had believed in America, had sought and trusted in the American dream, and the policies of Washington, the politics of both parties was taking that away from them. It was leaving them behind. And that's what attracted me to Donald Trump, that those people saw in him the answer they didn't see in any of the other Republican candidates. And remember, there were 16 or 17 others, and they certainly didn't see it in Hillary Clinton. They hadn't seen it in Barack Obama. They hadn't really seen it in George Bush or Mitt Romney or John McCain either. These were people who felt finally, the Republicans want to give us somebody who speaks for us. And so that is why I began to pay closer attention to Donald Trump, and I realized they were right.
They certainly are. There's no doubt about it. That is a great story. What do you think is the biggest threat to his success?
Well, that's an excellent question. I would say that there are two parts to it. The first is the other side is passionate. They hate him with a passion, and that hate is manipulated by skillful politicians and skillful game players in politics. And so you see the language that they use, the way they use social media to go after him. They play on, you know, oh, he's a racist. I mean, that's just an appeal to black voters to come with us. Oh, he hates Muslims. Come over here, Muslims. Oh, he hates non-whites. Come over here, Latinos. So the other side is skillful, and they're pretty well. They're disorganized nationally, but they're organized around a set of principles, or at least talking points, let's say, and beliefs about morality and things like that. I mean, how they define morality. The second, I think, biggest threat to him is him. I think the lack of humility that we talked about and we joke about is, you know, can blind him to his own flaws, which are magnified by the media that hates him and therefore are enlarged to a lot of people. And the second part of that, I think, of that lack of humility is the kind of harum-scarum nature of his administration. There's too much churn. There's too much people leaving, you know, sort of being pushed out because he doesn't think they're doing a good job. You can do that in the beginning. You are a new president. You're new to politics. You can have a lot of turnover. You can basically admit to mistakes in your hiring and your personnel choices. But I think here we are in his third year. He needs to stop that. He needs to put the people in there once and for all and say, this is my team. This is what we're doing for the next 2 years. We're going to go. I'm going to trust these people. We're going to work together. But you cannot be president alone. Ultimately, you are alone. You make the final decisions. But you got to get there with a lot of people. You got to rely on a lot of people. You got to trust other people. It can't just be you and Jared and Ivanka. You've got to trust your chief of staff. You've got to trust your military commanders. Ultimately, you can overrule everybody, but you have to trust them so that they can trust you.
Yeah, that's great insight. Patience and humility. We all could do a little better with it, but he certainly is. He's
I'm
on the stage.
On that myself.
Yeah, and you're saying there's just that bubble there. I think Donald Trump is there for a reason that is beyond anybody's understanding. I think that he is in the right place at the right time where the good Lord wants him. He's got a lot of work to do, and I think this job, I hope, is humbling him a little so he can get to where you're talking about there, because I think he can do some incredible things. I completely agree with you, and I think those of us that think a lot of him just need to do what we can to continue to encourage him to find those spots that are his blind spots that will prevent some really great things from being done. And certainly you have the power of the pen. Michael, we'll be reading. Thank you for your good work. We love you when you're on Fox, too, and we'll have you back. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Michael Goodwin, New York Post, on What's on Your Mind. Back to your calls next.
The key to a strong home is a solid foundation, and that starts from the ground up. The team at Precision Concrete Cutters Ramjack North wants you to know that around here, seasonal changes cause soil to shift, ultimately leading to serious structural problems. One of the most common signs that your foundation is in need of stabilization is cracking in your walls or flooring. Let us help you protect your greatest asset. To learn more, go to ramjacknorth.com. That's ramjacknorth.com.
Celebrate today, or any day, with North Dakota Sweet Crude, Old Man Wider's 100-year-old smokehouse moonshine recipe. The smooth, premium, unrefined liqueur is the essence of North Dakota's rugged spirit. The perfect liqueur for family traditions, toasts, friends, or to share in front of a warm, intimate fire. Treat someone you know with a special day. And every day is special with North Dakota Sweet Crude. Ask for it by name at your local off sale or online at crudespirits.com.
At the University of Mary, we consider your success to be our success. Complete your bachelor's degree, earn a graduate degree, or enhance your skills with a certificate while you excel in your career. Our evening and online classes are designed to fit the schedules of working adults. Classes start May 6th. Learn more at umary.edu/may. It's umary.edu/may. Or call the university at 701-355-8030.
Hi, this is Scott Hennen. I often hear from mineral owners about the difficulty of managing their minerals and knowing whether or not they're being paid properly. Now there's a solution. MineralTracker.com. Designed and built by a team of oil and gas experts in Watford City. Mineral Tracker is a one-of-a-kind technology, revolutionizing the way mineral owners are managing their oil and gas interests. Sign up for a free trial now at 833-842-2924. Visit MineralTracker.com or email info@MineralTracker.com.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
What a busy show today. Senator Kramer in the first hour of the Talk Radio Town Hall. We had, of course, a chat with Jim Roars earlier on the local edition of What's on Your Mind. Jim Roars is a senator from Fargo, but we talked with him a little bit about flood protection for Fargo. Right now, Fargo is being asked to, the state is being asked to contribute about $300 million to the flood protection plan for Fargo, but it's actually a lower percentage than any state has ever had in similar projects. So it's essentially a bargain. And Senator Roars is now making the case to his colleagues about that. That's a challenge for a Fargo legislator to talk, other legislators, Castleton West, into sending those amount of dollars here. But the dollars are an investment in preventing future expense, so it's one that makes total sense. So I am certainly hopeful that those dollars will be there. The lack of flood protection is a constant noose around your neck. It just tightens every now and then, right? And it's just it's not good. It's not good on the human psyche. It's not good what it does to people and the fear that comes with that, the fight itself, what that takes out of you, the economic disruption, not to mention the cost and the damage. You got to do this. So it makes good sense. And whether you like Fargo or you don't like Fargo, you've got an economic engine here, too. It contributes mightily to the rest of the state. There's no doubt about it. It's an important part of the entire state's success. So I hope that happens. Senator Kramer was great. Talked a little bit about the problem with how Washington, just doesn't work. Just doesn't work. And how the border wall is taking longer than it should. Fascinating conversation on that front today, too. And then Roscoe Striley, I thought was fantastic, in laying out really, a lot of people say this stuff. They just do it privately and maybe cryptically tweet about it every now and then. Roscoe saying, look, Jeff Delser is the most important person in Bismarck, and he can really give it to you and stick it to you bad. Really shouldn't be the case. Jeff Delser should represent Underwood. He should be a legislator, and he should be a voice on appropriations, not the voice on appropriations. And this is the legislature behind the scenes that you don't see. And that's why I'm thankful that Roscoe is laying this out, explaining that. And by the way, Roscoe's coming at it from someone that opposed the candidacy of Doug Burgum. He was a Wayne Stengem fan, 100%. And now recognizes the talents in the governor and also saying what we're doing and putting money in that bucket, money in that bucket, money in that bucket, money in that bucket is just having power, exercising power for the sake of power, not being financially prudent because we're already doing that. So I thought that was a good conversation, too. And I was fascinated by what Michael Goodwin had to say about what could prevent Donald Trump from future success. So fun show. But we have more. We have a few minutes here for whatever's on your mind. 800-228-0550. Toll-free telephone number, Tim in Bismarck. What's on your mind?
I'm with the Freedom Riders Motorcycle Club.
One more time, Tim. I'm sorry. We had a technical glitch there. I didn't hear you. So just start from the beginning.
Okay. I'm sorry. I said good morning, gentlemen. I said this is Tim Keller. I'm with the Freedom Riders Motorcycle Club out of Bismarck.
Okay.
And I just wanted to call and thank all of our sponsors and donors, and especially Todd, Ginger, and Dave. You know, with iHeartMedia, they're one of our corporate sponsors. But I wanted to announce that last week we had our motorcycle classic, and we've been doing this for 39 years. Next year's our 40th. And we started an auction a few years ago because during the Obama administration, they shut down the DAV vans that transferred the vets back and forth to Bismarck from Fargo, or from Fargo, from Bismarck to Fargo. And so we started this so we could help them out a little bit with Gene Kubas. And this year at our auction that we hold at our show, we were able to raise $350 for guitars for vets, $4,000 for Carrie's kids, and $40,000 for our local DAV, which is the Adam Klein chapter, which is amazing. And we couldn't do this without the community. Up to year to date, 13 years, we've given over $500,000 back to the community. And this is because of the good people around that help us and our donors and sponsors. So I just wanted to give a shout out to all of them and tell them thank you.
I'm glad you did, Tim. And I have to tell you, you're talking specifically about the crew at iHeartMedia in Bismarck. And, radio stations do a lot of work in giving voice to things that are great causes. And it really helps because, these organizations want to raise money. They can't go out and spend a bunch of money to raise money. That'd be perfect if you have it, but it just kind of defeats the purpose. They're doing good work. So sometimes I think, the radio industry, it's local, right? Pandora's not local. Pandora could care less about your disabled veterans, Tim. You care less,
yeah.
Right? And so many other media entities as well. Facebook doesn't care about disabled veterans in Bismarck, North Dakota. But you know what? K-Fire and iHeartMedia do, and all those stations do. And the same with our flag family in Fargo, and KLTC in Dickinson, and KTGO in Tioga. We care about the communities we serve. We're one of you. So it's an important point. I appreciate you calling.
And, the thing is Todd is always going out of his way, as is Ginger and Dave. Cindy, our rep, but I can't say enough thanks to the people in the community. I mean, this is what helps these vets, and they use it to all kinds of extents. They use it for medications. They use it for rent. They use it for traveling back and forth. It's just Next year is our 40th. We're going to have a huge auction again, a huge bike show. Our bike show is wonderful this year, and we want to invite everybody out. So
go get it. Take it in. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call. Hey, you're not going to read this in most media. Fake news won't cover this, but we haven't even talked about this yet. I think Senator Cramer mentioned it briefly. Hiring speeding up. March job numbers, 196,000 in the U.S. economy added. 200,000 jobs. Is that great or what? God bless you, folks. See you Monday.
Help preserve your wealth. Successful investing requires more than just selecting the right stocks or bonds. It also requires avoiding big mistakes that can harm your financial future. Call Collins & Cronk to get your free no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Let the advisors at Collins & Cronk explain some common pitfalls investors make, and more importantly, how to avoid them. Steering clear of any of these key mistakes could greatly improve your ability to reach your investing goals. Given the current news and the uncertainty in the financial markets, you may wonder how you'll keep your own portfolio on track to help meet your financial goals. Get the free, no-obligation report, The 8 Great Financial Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Call the advisors at Collins & Cronk today and ask for the report. Collins & Cronk, 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Collins & Cronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services. Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., located at 300 NP Avenue, Fargo, Suite 108.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Gold is a better way. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. The book may not be for you, but the tens of thousands who've read it have been blown away to learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. We're so confident this book will change the way you think about investing, we've purchased 1,000 copies from the publisher and are giving them to serious investors. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, we'd like to send you your copy. Just text the word BESTSELLER to 49776. That's BESTSELLER to 49776. You can buy it on Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, or text BESTSELLER and get it for free. Text BESTSELLER to 49776. That's BESTSELLER to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Gold is a better way. Text BESTSELLER to 49776.